This week on a podcast from beneath, we're here to chew ass and kick bubblegum, and we're all out of ass, or something like that. Coming to get you, Barbara. It has been established that persons who have recently died have been returning to life and committing acts of murder. The unburied dead are coming back to life. Mr. Poe, how's it going?
Perfect. Perfect. You're getting better at this every time we get on here. It's just getting that much better.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, fantastic, my friend. Fantastic. Another great episode we got going on. It's about damn time we talk about this movie.
Yeah, I know.
It kind of pertains to today.
Is it really horror, though, would be my question.
I would say...
We may have just kicked this show over into the sci-fi.
Yeah.
Just have to be a horror slash sci-fi podcast now.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talk about other things. They Live, yes, it's sci-fi, but also it's directed by a horror icon, number one. And number two, the aliens, they look fucked up. I mean, these things, if they are aliens, they look jacked up, man.
Yes, but before we get to that, we have some other stuff to get out of the way.
Oh, yes.
So I guess we'll start with this. So I don't remember who's putting it out because I didn't prepare, but there's a new, like, Friday the 13th box set coming out. I think it's Blu-ray.
I think it's
all the movies. I think it even includes the remake.
It does. Okay. It's not Dread Central, is it?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up real quick.
Up because I believe it's them.
I should have done this earlier, but I didn't.
No, it's all right. I mean, there's so much stuff to keep up with. We try. Just new stuff always pops up, man.
Spring Factory, is that it?
Spring Factory? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't know who that was.
I believe it's Spring Factory. Yes, it's the Friday 13th Collection Blu-ray. I don't know. Maybe it's not Scream Factory. I don't know now. Anyways, it looks really cool.
It's coming out.
Well, because I searched for it, and now I'm seeing that it's already up on eBay for like $300. I'm like, well, that can't be it. But I think I just found it. I'm pretty sure it's Scream Factory.
Okay.
But I think it's like a limited edition. Like they're only making so many prints of it.
That's crazy. So does it come with like, I guess it's going to come with like little, like a booklet and like all this other crap.
Well, here, I'll read the description.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll
work. Friday the 13th Collection, Deluxe Edition, plus exclusive lithograph and poster.
So that ain't bad.
You get all 12 films on 16 discs. The exclusive ShoutFactory.com offer contains Friday 13th Collection 16-disc Blu-ray set in a rigid slipcase, an exclusive limited edition 36x24 lithograph featuring new artwork by artist Devin Whitehead, an exclusive limited edition 24x36 Friday 13th 40th anniversary poster featuring new artwork by artist Joel Robinson. And it comes in a nice little box. Like, yeah, the lithograph and the poster both look really good. But for some reason, I'm thinking that's a limited run, and it costs $160.
Which, you know, it's not bad. For all the movies, and they're updated, probably remastered a little bit. I mean, that's not bad. I have the shit. I bought it, like, I want to say it was like 2002.
Like the
was it
in a black slipcase?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, from Crystal Lake to Manhattan or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other ones I have separate. So this is pretty cool that it comes with everything.
Yeah, plus it's on Blu-ray. So if anybody wants to get that for me.
Oh, okay. We're doing Christmas wish lists.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Christmas in July. Yeah. All right.
All right. So the other thing I have too, and I just learned this the other day. Of course, I don't know. I mean, I guess I can understand why I've never paid attention to it before, but there is a cinematic universe crossover that I never thought I would see.
Oh, yeah?
And that is Friday the 13th.
Okay.
And Transformers.
Okay.
And as soon as I share my screen here, I'll prove it to you.
Yeah, I'm going to need proof on this.
Yeah.
I just
so let me share my screen that has my has my browser on it here. You just let me know when you can see it.
Let's see. It says sharing screen. Let's see this. I mean, that's crazy. Oh, okay. All right.
All right, so here it is. Can you see it?
Okay, Transformers
2007, full cast and crew.
All right.
We've got... Oh, wait a minute. My find's not working. There we go. Here we go. I got it.
This show's high-tech, people.
All right, so we got Trent here. This character named Trent, played by Travis Van Winkle.
Okay.
If I go to the Friday 13th, we have Trent, played by Travis Van Winkle.
What in the hell? Up.
There you go. Friday 13th, 2009, just to make sure.
Holy yeah. What? That
so,
is.
So this guy connects the two.
Poor guy. He's got giant robots fighting around him. He goes across the lake. How shitty of a life do you have to, or shitty of luck anyway to have?
So that's like the next, that's like the next crossover that I'm looking forward to.
I was thinking like Optimus Prime. He's like, Autobots, we have to take down Crystal Lake. And then you see Uber Jason come out.
Well, it could be the Jason from the upgraded Jason.
Yeah, Jason X.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fighting Bumblebee. I think that'd be pretty cool.
So stupid. That's crazy, man. I mean, the shit that you find sometimes. I mean, I don't know how you stumbled upon that, but that's awesome.
Well, I was watching... There's a YouTube channel I watch called Mr. Sunday Movies, and they were basically destroying Transformers. But then that was like one of their little fun facts.
You know, I
was that crossover.
When Transformers first came out, I know I'm getting away from what we're talking about, but Transformers, when it first came out, I really dig. I liked it a lot. It's just, they just kept going with it. And I think that's what ruined the franchise. They kept trying to go bigger and badder, and they just got to a ridiculous point, I think. That's just my opinion. Because the first one was like, wow, this is cool. They're finally on the big screen. It was, you know, it was neat.
Yeah, but they changed too much stuff for me. Like, the cars.
Yeah.
You know, Bumblebee should have been a bug. And I get it. GM was was their product placement or whatever.
Yeah. Well.
And then changing the rig style of Optimus to be not have the flat front. I was just like, I don't.
Plus, Megan Fox wasn't bad to look at either. Yeah.
So. And then Shia LaBeouf just being annoying through the whole fucking movie.
He's always screaming.
Yeah, it was just annoying.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I got really. You.
Although I've heard really good things about the movie Bumblebee, so I may check it out because it's on Hulu, I think.
Yeah, it's on Hulu, and I think it's on Prime as well.
Because they go back and fix it. You know, he's a bug now, and I think Optimus is like the. Whatever that type of truck that is, I don't know.
Oh.
I think they go back and fix all that. So maybe, I'll check that one out.
Pretty cool.
What was there? Something else. There was something else I was wanting to bring up. Oh, yeah, yeah. So this is this is like completely way, not even like way off topic.
Okay. More than Transformers? Go ahead.
Yeah.
I want to hear this.
So you've been to Walmart, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they have Walmart Radio, which plays my entire 8-hour shift.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's in the store. You know, it plays throughout the store. So I've heard like this. I've heard you've heard Jack and Diane, right? By John Cougar Mellencamp.
I think everybody has. Okay. Yes, they've beaten it to death. Yeah.
Well, recently I've been hearing like once a day, every day, right?
Oh,
and,
God.
So it gets me thinking, right? When I hear the lyrics, I'm like, you know, you're putting corn on the shelf and you're just hearing these lyrics. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning of the song,
as you would, but yeah. Go ahead.
In the beginning of the song, he mentions that the two characters,
yeah, Jack and Diane, mm-hmm.
they're in the back of the car, right?
Yeah.
And then he says that they're sucking on chili dogs behind the Tasty Freeze, right? Does that sound like that old Diane maybe went ass to mouth?
I think that song is about finger blasting your woman in the backseat. That's what I'm. That's what I get out of it. Like, he's just singing about being young and you know, they're just together. And yeah, I've heard that song about a million times.
I just thought that's what I just thought the chili jogger reference was to ass to mouth.
So, yeah, oh man,
that's what I've been thinking about all week.
Looking on chili dog, it's a disease. Yeah.
See, at first I didn't even think I thought he wasn't even. I thought he was saying behind a shady tree.
Oh no. Now, you probably heard like Goo Goo Dolls slide about a million times too.
Maybe if I have, I just don't know what the.
You probably heard that one.
You say the title doesn't sound familiar, but
yeah, that one song. Why don't you slide? Yeah,
is that about going to ask the mouse who? Or
yeah, okay. They're all sexual songs that you're listening to in the Walmart family radio. Yeah. All right. All right.
Yes. So we'll just go from that. I mean, let's go to something that, you know, people don't want to be connected to. So,
okay.
we should probably not do shout outs at this point.
No, they're going to happen. I mean, we got to follow that up with something. It's not going to be the greatest follow up, but just going to be something.
So we apologize for whoever gets this. So go ahead and give your first shout out there.
Okay, well, my first shout out, I wanted to say this movie looks very interesting. Indiegogo's going right now, and it's Debbie Does Demons. It's by Donald Farmer. I mean, they got a heck of a cast already, you know, lined up for it. But they got the Indiegogo live right now. So I was very interested in it. That sounds like something me and you would really want to watch. Get behind and watch.
What's it about?
Debbie Does Demons.
I don't want to assume that it's. Well, that's what it is.
Well, it's like it looks like a 70s exploitation film.
Okay.
So. Yeah. Are you looking it up right now?
No, I was trying to find something else.
Okay. Well, anyway,
I remember seeing the post on Facebook.
You did? Okay. I just kind of looked into it, but that Indiegogo's going on right now. So check that one out. It seemed interesting to me anyway. A director that I've been keeping up with, his name's John Rain. He's got a new movie. They've been doing what they can to get it made. But it's Evergreen Is the Blood. Polestar Studios is his, baby. And they're getting that together. And, you know, that'll be out probably, I want to say, next year sometime. But he keeps updating everything. So if you want to follow him and just, you know, keep up to date with who he's got going, you know, in it and how far the movie's progressing. So I did want to mention him and a band that I've been following. They're called Carterized, and they're out of San Antonio. They had a GoFundMe for their music video to be made, but they've already been funded. So that's going to be neat to see that when that comes out. And that's heavy metal band out of Texas. And I did want to mention some other things. Circus of the Dead. They had a live release, you know, like a little panel for the release, the Blu-ray release from Dread Central. And I got to be a part of that. It was really fun. And I'm looking forward to the new release coming out. They got some behind the scenes stuff and all that other good things. So,
oh, I didn't know you were a part of that. Thanks for telling me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just jumped on at the last minute, really.
Oh, okay.
It just popped up on my feed and I'm like, oh, cool. No, I mean, I jumped in. Oh,
you
were just the audience. Okay. Yeah.
I thought you meant like you were like a. I thought you meant like you were like a panel or something.
I ain't nobody. I'm just some fucking idiot on the internet, like everyone else. No, I just joined it. Like they had, you know, they said submit your questions and all this stuff, and the first 10 questions, they get a free Blu-ray. So, I think I might be getting a Circus of the Dead Blu-ray. I already own it on Blu-ray, but the Dread Central release of it.
Oh, there you go. Very so cool.
But that was the other night. I got to watch them talk about it, and you get to ask the, you know, all the actors and everything questions. So, and I'll say it 100 times. I mean, if no one's seen Circus of the Dead, you got to check this thing out. I mean, it's just, it's crazy fun, man. It's crazy, disturbing, bloody, everything. So check it out. And Billy Pond
is awesome. On what? It's on Tubi, right?
Oh, it's on VOD everywhere now.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember, you can get it on Vudu.
I think I started watching it on something, but I got interrupted, so I'm going to go back and
it was probably, they had it on Prime for a while, and that's where I stumbled onto it. And then I was like, how the fuck did I not hear about this movie? It was made in 2014, I believe. And I was like, holy shit. So, and then I, you know, after that, I just followed them, and I got to meet those guys up there at a cult classic convention. So, and now that they've got a, you know, a wider release for this movie, they'll be going to different cons probably all over the country. So,
right, right. That'd be cool.
Yeah. So, and that's about it for me, man.
All right. Well, the, tomorrow, when I mean tomorrow as of the day we're recording this, which is going to be Friday the 17th. The Indiegogo for Reunion from Hell will be going live, and that's from writer and director Hayden Newman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know they put that on hold, so now it's coming, it's going to be live again.
Yeah, yeah, they're Indiegogo. Okay. Gonna start back up on Friday the 17th.
Oh, badass.
9 a.m. I think, I can't remember.
Very cool.
Yes. Very good stuff coming out from independent filmmakers.
Now, we did talk about beforehand, before we start recording, I asked you if it was live again, the Ed and the Living Dead with Brandy Mason.
As far as I know, they are still going to try to do that one. Okay. And I'm just going by what they posted. So.
Yeah, yeah. I saw it and I was like, holy shit, I thought it was not going to happen.
Yeah, because we plugged that thing like 35 episodes ago.
I know.
That's how I tell time now, by episodes.
By episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's see. I'm going to read a little bit of what Debbie Does Demons is okay. about. Okay. Let's see. Hold on. It goes through like all this other stuff, like who's in it and... well, it's from the team that brought you Cannibal Hookers, Hooker with a Hacksaw, and The Shark Exorcist. So that's who's
I've seen The Shark Exorcist.
You have? I hadn't seen that one. Okay, well, it doesn't really give...
It's Debbie Does Demons. I think it's...
Debbie likes dudes, Debbie likes daiquiris, and Debbie hates demons. I guess she fucking kills demons. She's a demon slayer.
Well, she does demons.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. So professional.
It's the only way to be.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, at least I said the guy's name. That's what I looked up. I'm like, okay, I got to mention who it's by. And then you ask, well, what's it about? I'm like, oh, fuck. I guess I'm not that professional after all.
You got to know what they're about, man.
Well, I'm sorry. Debbie Does Demons. That pretty much explains it for me. I'm like, okay, you got me at, you know, Debbie Does.
Debbie Does.
Because I'm a pervert.
You had me at movie. All right, so we haven't done one of these shows in a long time, right? We've been having guests on and some awesome people on, so I haven't done this in a while, but now it's going to be time for Tales from Tubi. I almost forgot what it was called. That's all I'm going to say. Been so long, I forgot what our segments are called. Tales from Tubi TV. this little movie is from 2019. It's called Lake Artifact.
Huh.
Five friends go on a weekend getaway to a cabin in upstate New York, where time and space begin to function without reason, only to slowly turn them against each other one by one. Very interesting way that they handled the time travel and like parallel universe part in this movie, and it was really good.
So is it kind of sci-fi-ish, I guess, and horror? Or
it's listed just... well, I mean, if I look at the listing here on IMDb, it's listed as a what do they have it listed as? Comedy, horror, sci-fi.
Oh, okay. Well,
but it's not really. It's not a comedy. You know what I'm saying?
Did you laugh at all during it?
No.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm just saying it's not even like a, because whenever you, if you tell me, hey, there's a, it's a comedy, then I'm thinking that they purposely made it funny, where sometimes somebody may list a movie as a comedy because it's, you know, it's like bad and they're just, you know, but no, this is not a, I don't know why they have comedy listed there.
Like Neil Breen's should be labeled comedy.
Yeah.
Cause that shit's hilarious.
Yeah. But I mean, this is like, I mean, I guess just because they have like maybe like a scene where they're like drinking and partying and it's kind of lighthearted, I guess maybe they say it's a comedy from that, but no, I wouldn't consider it a comedy.
Okay.
But it's definitely worth a watch. You know, it's free, it's on TV. I rather enjoyed it. Interesting way they done time travel and parallel universes, so definitely give that one a try.
I'm interested. I'm trying to add stuff on my Tubi queue all the time. Like, mm-hmm. I'll come across, I'm like, that looks interesting. Is that kind of how you stumbled upon it? You're just like, oh, let me check this out.
Yep. It showed up, and I was like, I think it was because I'd watched something. Oh, it was because I'd watched Harvest Lake. And it said, because you watched that movie, you may also like this movie, which has Lake in the title.
I couldn't think of that fucking movie the other day. I was trying to figure, I was like, what was that movie we watched? And we loved it so much. And I mean, yeah, the graphics weren't that, you know, the practical effects weren't that great, but they were still pretty cool. Lake?
I thought the practical effects were really good.
No, what's that other one? Lake Nowhere.
Yeah, Lake Nowhere.
Lake Nowhere was the one
where it was like a, looked like it was like a early 80s film.
Yeah,
film,
yeah.
Like 8mm.
Okay, Harvest Lake had, I'm sorry, I got my
Harvest damn Lake, Lake is the movies. Harvest Lake Church.
Yeah, Ellie Church, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that one was real good. I like, I like both of them.
Oh, I did too.
So, now, I did want to bring up something that I stumbled upon, and I don't know if you've heard of this movie, but there's more than one. It's like a series of movies.
Star Wars?
I have to check these out. Yeah, Star Wars. Okay. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
They're called Nightmare on Elm Street. No. It's called, the movie's called Slaughtered Vomit Dolls.
No, I have not heard of this.
Okay. Well, there's other movies, and it's directed by this guy. I want to call him Dino Velvet, but his name's Lucifer Valentine that directed these. And I think Dino Velvet, because 8mm, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. So anyway, I'm going to venture into those. I will report back to you when I finally just decide to watch these movies.
And where are they at? Where can you
see? I don't know. I think I have to buy them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to – I don't know why it tickled my curiosity, you know? And I was like, the fuck is this? I never heard of this. And the cover looks like a little kid drew it in a crayon. So it looks weird. Well, I'm definitely going to check it out. So if anybody's ever heard of these or anybody ever seen them, just, you know, if you're listening, give some feedback on it because I'm kind of interested in it.
Yes. Tell us whether we should or should not.
There you go. So, yeah, I just wanted to bring it up before I forgot. I thought it was neat. I had to bring it up.
All right. Shit. Did you have shout outs that you wanted to do?
I already did most of them.
Oh, I thought, well, no. I meant like follower shout outs.
Oh, no. Man, you know. Well, I just want to thank everybody that's keeping up with us on our 1313 Inc. You know, we put everything together, and I think it's worked out for the best. And I just thank everybody following us and any kind of feedback we get. So, yeah, nobody individual other than, you know, John Rain. I did, you know what? I will give a shout out to Fred Aldman. He's always on the B Movie TV group. Of course, I've mentioned his website before. We'll put it in the comments. But anyway, he put out there that he was tested positive for COVID-19, and he's stuck in, you know, quarantine and all that. I just want to say, hey, Fred, and he's a big supporter of Sci-Fi Sideshow and our little podcast here. So
nice.
He'll get to hear this, and we just hope you feel better, Fred.
That's right. All right, so. Well, you said we do some weekly world news.
Oh, it's been a while.
It has been a while. And now it's time for the weekly world news. I'm so far behind. I have no idea what's going on in the world.
Without the
weekly world news.
This is the world I want to know what everything's going on in, is the weekly world news view of it.
I don't know if Bat Boy has COVID yet or not.
no, but I will read a couple of these off. The first one I'm going to read off is a gunslinger. It looks like Annie Oakley says gunslinger reincarnated as a stripper. So we got a gunslinger that got right back, and now she's stripping. It doesn't say where she's stripping.
What's her stripper name? Does it say?
No, it does not. Oh. It just says reincarnated as a stripper. That's it. That's all I got. Okay. No, I'm joking. Let's see. what is that? Control your age, lick a tree frog, and you will be 10 years younger.
Nice.
So go find you a frog and lick it up.
We do not condone licking frogs.
Okay. Well, a podcast from Denise. Does not support Mr. Poe's views or comments. Oh, Spy Cat came back. He tracks down Putin. tracks down Putin in Siberia. The Spy Cat, that fucker is out again.
Well, let me ask you this, because you've mentioned Spy Cat before.
Yeah.
But you've never shown a picture. Is he wearing a tuxedo?
No. That would be so perfect. No, it looks like... Well, he's a black and white cat. Does that count?
There you go. That's a tux.
Yeah. So
he has cufflinks.
Yeah. No, I don't know. That would be sweet, though. I don't know why they didn't think of that. I think we should be working.
We should be taking over there, that publication.
Let's see here. There's got to be more. There's got to be more.
I'm surprised they haven't sued us yet for reading their stories on here, but.
I doubt they're listening. A Bigfoot hooker? All right. Oh, God. This picture is terrible. Bigfoot hooker to release her book, The Hairy Hooker Does DC. Now, that's a movie.
There you go.
Stay tuned to Indiegogo for The Hairy Hooker Does Washington. And let me see, and let me look for one more. Okay. Apparently, Bat Boy and Bigfoot campaign takes off in Alaska.
Oh.
All right. They impressed local fishermen and orthodontist. They got our vote. Bat Boy has Alaska's back. And it shows Bat Boy in jean shorts on a boat with Bigfoot, and Bigfoot's holding two giant crabs. So, and that's what we got. I'll leave it off on that because for some reason, these used to be funnier. But anyway, what can you do? That's the Weekly World News.
We may have to switch to the Onion News Network.
I think so. Something else. No, I will say this. I looked into it. There's apparently, and this is real. This isn't Weekly World News, but apparently there's these bats I've never heard of. They're like called fox bats or something.
I've heard of those.
Holy shit, man. Those things are huge.
Yeah, I know.
I never heard of them. I saw a picture of one. I was like, what the fuck? So,
I do want to mention one other movie that I watched. It was called, it was on Amazon, I think.
Uh-huh.
It was called The Vast of Night.
I've never heard of that one.
It's really good. It takes place like in the early 50s. So it's got that sort of like early 50s kind of story where there's not a lot of action. You know, it's all character and dialogue, but it's really good. It's about aliens.
Cool.
I would definitely recommend it.
We definitely have a theme for this episode. Yeah,
as long as you like dialogue, though, you got to hit it. If you don't like dialogue, you're going to fall asleep like in the first like 2 minutes.
You know, I don't know why I've taken a breather, but I've been on a binge of watching these different documentaries about different serial killers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, I just find it interesting, you know, and I needed a break. So I started watching like SpongeBob or something. Like I had to get my mind off of it. I'm like, this is too demented, man. I was like on a 2-day binge of watching these shows, you know? So yeah, that's what I was watching.
Well, I guess we should get to the main reason we're here.
Now we're going to get to They Live, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
That's my Buck Flower.
Is it?
That's Buck Flower.
So this movie came out in 1988. I was 35. I mean, I don't know how old I was.
What?
Directed by John Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Ray Nelson. Of course, it's based on his short story, 8 o'clock in the morning. I guess, you know, John Carpenter wrote the screenplay. Stars are Roddy Piper, Keith David, Meg Foster, Mr. Poe. What do you think about They Live?
Well, first off, I mean, Meg Foster, man. Those eyes.
Those eyes, yes.
Those freaking eyes. Like back in the day, I mean, even now, I got to see her at Texas Frightmare, and those eyes are still.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Freaking blue as hell, man. You can get lost in them. But yeah, I love this. I mean, the cheesy one-liners and all this stuff, but you know, if people watch it now, it kind of pertains to what's going on, you know, with what we're going through right now. And
I think it did. Even when it came out, it did all.
Oh yeah. I mean, consume and, you know, obey and all this stuff. I mean, that just
Reaganomics.
Oh man. I'll tell you it has a special place in my heart. You know, it's not the greatest movie ever, but it's still a fun watch.
It's up there, though.
It's oh, up. Yeah.
It's so, definitely the best Roddy Piper movie.
Yeah. We're not going to mention Hell Comes to Frogtown, but yeah, I love this movie. I mean, it's just a fun movie. I actually went ahead and just bought it because I didn't own it. I couldn't believe that.
But, did you get the Blu-ray?
No, I got it on VOD so I could watch
it. Oh, like just digital copy?
Yeah, I just got it on my Vudu account. Physical copy too, because awesome and a half.
Yep. You were cutting up there a little bit, dropping out.
That's all right. I asked what you thought of it.
Oh, I loved it. I remember seeing it. Now, I didn't see this one in theater. I would have seen this when it came out on home video, whatever year that would have been. What did I say? It came out in 88, so it probably came out on home video in 89, I guess. But I loved it ever since, you know, even the first time I watched it. Well, what all would have been cut? I know there was one. There was one nude scene. So, like, well, I guess some of the language would have been cut out too. But
yeah, the language. Yeah, the one nude scene, and I mean, what'd you think of that fight scene that put on the damn glasses?
Oh, that scene. That's like one of. When it comes to fight scenes, there I have two fight scenes from back then that I think are the best.
Okay.
And it's that scene between mm-hmm. him and Keith David and They Live. And it's got to be tied with the Danny Glover Predator fight.
Oh, yeah.
Where they basically fight to the whole city.
Oh, my God. Yes, the longest fight scene ever. But, yes. You know, I think They Live takes the crown on that one because that seemed like
yeah, he was and I think it's forever. I mean, because even, I mean, we all know who Rowdy Roddy Piper is, and it had some wrestling moves in it, you know, suplexes and shit.
Yeah.
But I think it made it feel, I don't know, it made it feel like a real fight, I guess. If that makes sense. Because you didn't, yeah. You don't see, you know what I'm saying? Whenever you watch, you know, the Predator fight, they didn't have wrestling moves in it. Where, you know, this had wrestling moves in it. So it made it, especially back then, because you're, you know, when I was younger and I would watch wrestling. And I was like, okay, that's cool that they have that in here. But yeah, yeah. definitely one of the greatest fight scenes.
Well, Roddy Piper, I think they got him because of his presence on TV, you know, like how he was, you know, how he talked and everything. They're like, oh, he's our guy.
Yeah, I think he choreographed that entire fight scene too.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just a fun movie, man. All the little things that happen in it. Of course, the one-liners, you know, like Mama don't like no tattletales. He's about to shoot that alien in the head and it disappears. But I'll tell you, my favorite character, I like Buck Flower. He's just that voice of his. He's like, blow it out your rear. Whenever the TV, the intermission or the, I can't even talk right now.
Right.
When they're cutting in and out of the frequency, there you go. And they were trying to do that transmission through there. And he got up. He's like, blow it out your ass or some shit like that. He turned the channel. He's like, you keep interrupting my program.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to look up some of the quotes here, but there's they have like a lot of them listed on
well,
here.
Of course, Kick Ass and Chew Bubble Gum and oh shit, man.
Look like your head fell out of a dip in 1957. Is that what it was?
Yeah, there you go. When he saw that only. When I take
yeah,
my, when
like
I
put my head fell, no, you look like your head fell in the cheese dip back in 1957.
Yeah, when you saw the old lady at the store, he's like, "See, I have my glasses off. She looks normal. I put my glasses on." Yeah, that. But you know, imagine that. Like, I think they did a good job with that because imagine getting glasses like that and seeing all that shit. Like, I think Roddy did a good job. You know, he looks like confused as shit. Like when he's over there looking at the magazine and then he takes his glasses on and off. And then that he looks over at that guy and he's just like, he takes his glasses off. His eyes are still wide. Like, what the fuck did I just see? You know?
Right.
I thought he did a great job at that. That was awesome.
Oh yeah. And the look of the aliens I thought was really cool.
Oh yeah, the alien with their bugged out eyes and
I don't know, they got like almost their eyes look like they were metal almost.
Yeah.
And they look like they kind of just look like they were skinned, right?
Yeah, they look like I don't know. Yeah, they're skinned and just ugly looking. And apparently they controlled the whole world.
Yes, they controlled the entire world. Through the media.
Hint, hint. That's probably what's going on right now. I need to find me a pair of those glasses.
Yeah, so we can put them on and see all the newspapers say obey. And
watching TV and you see Donald and Ivanka and everybody up on TV and they all look like that. That'd be crazy. Like, oh, shit. It's them. Or it's they.
They live, yes. No, I think it's a really, that's like a really good, like I said, I mean, I don't know when the original, what was it based off of, what I say, a novel? Or yeah. Just a story. Like, I don't know when that was originally written. But I mean, this definitely had the, it was definitely telling the story of the 80s and consumerism and, you know, Reaganomics and all that stuff.
Which still is happening today. I do want to mention, wasn't that a dick move of Meg Foster to throw Rowdy out the fucking window of a two-story fucking condo? I mean, golly. I was like, holy shit, that went, like, to quote Ron Burgundy, that escalated quickly. I mean, it was like, let me show you. And he, whoa, I was like, holy shit, I forgot about that part. I was like, God dang. I thought you were dead.
Now, what did you think about the move, the music, not the movie? We were talking about the movie then.
The music? Oh, I mean, shit, it fit perfect, I thought.
John Carpenter.
Yeah.
His soundtracks are always awesome.
Well, because he takes I think because he takes time with it. You know? I think he just takes time with it. And plus, he's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing.
All right.
So, yeah, and nothing iconic like Halloween. Like, if I hear the music from They Live, I'm not going to be like, oh, that's from They Live. I wouldn't think that. You know what I mean?
You don't think you would?
I don't know. I don't think I would.
I think I would, because I can, like, his music, I mean, his stuff is so, like you said, with Halloween. I mean, you hear that, you know what that's
from. Oh, yeah.
Escape from New York's the same way. You hear that, you know where that music's coming from.
Yes.
When you hear Escape from New York. I think, you know, when you hear, the music for this one. And yeah, I think you would just know. I'm gonna test you one day. I'm just gonna play it.
You should. No, test me.
Just to see if you know it.
Yeah, I would love to be test on that, because I don't know. Maybe I would, but I don't think I would. I don't know.
You don't think that it has that?
Not
that standalone to, quality.
Not to me, but who the fuck am I, right? No, but yeah.
Well, the line I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, which I apparently messed up at the beginning of this episode.
Oh, I thought you did that shit on purpose, but
yeah. I am all out of bubblegum. that was ad-libbed. That was ad-libbed by Roddy Piper.
I believe that.
He previously had written the line in his notebook of potential verbal bits during his wrestling career. So I guess that was something he was going to use in his wrestling career and use it in this movie. And we're all glad that he did.
Oh, hell yeah. I thought you had another.
No. Well, I do, but I was just kind of reading it ahead of time. Like, Roddy Piper, being a married man at the time of filming, refused to take his wedding band off. That's why in several scenes you can see a wedding ring on his finger.
Well, that's cool.
I guess I could have just, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, trivia. Well, I mean, come on. It was back in the day. They couldn't take that stuff off, like, you know, computers and shit. They couldn't edit it out. You know?
No, I meant like, why? If it was like if that's like a big thing, right? Then I just like make it into the story where he's married. Like
he lost his wife or something.
Yeah.
Something.
You know, don't nitpick because the motherfucker had a wedding ring on. the big fight scene was designed, rehearsed, and choreographed in the backyard of director John Carpenter's production office. The fight between Nada and Frank was supposedly only to last 20 seconds, but Piper and David decided to fight it out for real, only faking the hits to the face and groin.
Oh, wow.
They rehearsed the fight for 3 weeks. Carpenter was so impressed, he kept the scene intact, which runs 5 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah.
It's a good one, though. I still got to say, it's one of my favorites.
It is. And, man, you know, I really like Keith David in a lot of his stuff. And, I mean, just seeing him in this movie, how young he looked, I'm like, holy shit. But, I mean, he also did a great job in this movie. But I like Keith David, so.
Oh yeah, he's a good actor. Roddy Piper's character never gives his name, nor is he referenced by name throughout the entire movie. He is simply listed as Nada in the credits, which means nothing in Spanish and Portuguese. The name almost certainly refers to the character George Nada in Ray Faraday Nelson's short story, 8 o'clock in the morning, from which the film was adapted. I'm going to have to find that story and read it.
Yeah.
I wonder how hard it'd be to find.
Shit, you might get a better understanding of the movie, you know?
Maybe. One of the alien TV broadcasts refers to the director by name. An alien commentator is complaining about sex and violence in the media, and his dialogue breaks off with the word filmmakers like George Romero and John Carpenter have to show some restraint.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that. Or I didn't catch that.
Didn't catch
while it. Watching. Yeah, I didn't catch it.
I don't think
it.
I have either. John Carpenter wanted a truly rugged individual to play Nada. He cast wrestler Roddy Piper in the lead after seeing him in WrestleMania 3.
Mm-hmm.
Carpenter remembered Keith David's performance in The Thing and wrote the role of Frank specifically for the actor.
Which is awesome. Another awesome movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. According to a title card in the made-for-TV short documentary He Lives, interview with John Carpenter, They Live opened at number one in the U.S. box office and disappeared from theaters soon after. Which is probably why I've only seen it on VHS. Carpenter brought real homeless folks into production for several scenes and smaller characters and gave them food as well as paychecks.
That was nice of him.
I thought that was a pretty classy thing to do, says Piper.
Do you want to be a part of a movie? What are you doing?
Many movie posters of the film featured a long blurb that read, "You see them on the street, you watch them on TV, you might even vote for one this fall. You think they're people just like you, you're dead wrong." Oh, posters for this film. Okay. I thought they were saying like movie posters in the movie. We're saying.
Oh, okay. That. It was just posters for the film.
Yeah, for this film. Okay. That makes more sense now.
Man, I just wish, you know, old Buck Fowler had more of a presence in this movie. He only had like two scenes in this movie?
Maybe.
I mean, he's like an icon himself. He's been in so much. That's the only thing I wish they could have done different.
Your only complaint about the whole story.
Yeah, because I like him. He's funny. Yeah.
For years after the film's release, and even on the movie's DVD commentary, Roddy Piper maintained that the film was based on an actual incident in the 1950s in which a company manufactured a TV that planted subliminal messages in women's brains, instructing them to make extravagant purchases. Piper was unaware that the documentary he had seen, LaFar Bronsowicz, was in fact a comedy short. Awkward.
So he thought it was real.
He thought it was real. It was
a comedy short.
It was a comedy short, yes.
Wow.
From 1978.
Oh, golly.
The film was made and released about 25 years after its source short story, 8 o'clock in the morning, answers my question there, by Ray Nelson, had been first published in 1963. According to John Carpenter, the movie was also based on an Eclipse comic book adaptation of this story.
Oh, cool. Great.
Now I got you to find a comic book.
Yeah.
The role of Nada was originally written for Kurt Russell. How great would that have been? Russell in that? I mean, I know you look back now and you don't see anybody else.
Yeah, but I don't know. Kurt Russell could have pulled it off, but I mean, I don't know.
I mean, like I said, man. Yeah, well, because you've already seen him in that role, but
yeah,
Because it's always hard to go back and see anybody else playing the role once you see it, but you know, I think Kurt Russell would have done a pretty good job.
Kind of like Sylvester Stallone in Terminator instead of Arnold.
Right, yeah. the communicators used by the guard near the end of the... Oh, yeah, I knew this one. The communicators used by the guards near the end is also the PKE meter used in Ghostbusters. It's the same prop that they like. They reused them. I believe you're froze up again there.
That, oh, man, I'm glad you brought that up. They just were the Ghostbusters prop. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, you were cutting out again there a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to bring that up because I saw that. I'm like, hey, that's the PKE meter.
Yeah, I guess they just reuse studio props.
Yeah, I guess. They're like, what are we going to use for communication? I don't know. Ghostbuster, go to over there where they were shooting their thing.
I've seen other props being used in different movies. Like, I just can't think of them right now.
Yeah.
The only character given a first and last name is Holly Thompson.
Meg Foster.
Yes. Carpenter is apparently still fascinated. The film opened at number one at the box office.
That's awesome.
I just imagine him sitting there like 30 years later. Man, I can't believe that opened at number one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you had one of the biggest wrestling superstars at the time.
At the time, yes. Now, I was going to say, wasn't he on one of the cartoons also? Remember the Hulk Hogan cartoon? Was he? Because for some reason, I just keep imagining like an animated
Roddy. They probably did.
For some reason.
I don't know.
I remember that Hulk Hogan cartoon, but they weren't wrestlers though, right? I mean, they didn't wrestle, right?
I don't, dude, you got me because I don't remember a wrestling cartoon.
Oh man, it had Hulk Hogan, it had Junkyard Dog was in it because he lived in an actual junkyard in the cartoon. Am I making this up or does it just
really No, I don't think you're making it up. I just never seen it.
I think like, what was it, Jimmy Fly the Snooker or whatever his name? Is that the guy? No, who had the bird? Coco Beware, maybe? I think he was on there. Lou Albano was on it.
We're going to piss off some wrestling fans. Y'all don't know who that is. Fucking asshole.
Yeah, but some reason I just keep picturing an animated Roddy Piper, and I don't know why.
No, I think you're right. I think we're going to have to look that up. We're definitely going to have to look that up because, I mean, I remember a lot of animated shows. I even mentioned one to my wife. They had, for a brief moment, they had New Kids on the Block that was a cartoon. And she's like, I didn't know that. I'm like, you're a big fan of theirs. There's just some cartoons that we didn't get to see, I guess, and some that we did.
Right, yeah.
So I don't remember the wrestling one.
Man, they've got like a bunch of trivia on
here. Oh, no. We'll be here forever.
Ton. Yeah, I know. Of course, it looks like a lot of it's just repeating. The film was originally a short story in the 60s. It became a graphic novel in the 90s.
Like, golly. Okay, we get it. We get it.
Roddy Piper quit the WWE to make this film.
Well, did he know he was...
That's inaccurate. That's inaccurate right there because he actually quit the WWF.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't WWE back then. What was you going to say?
Oh, I forgot now. I was just going to say, oh, he was starting a trend. He didn't even know because that's what most wrestlers do now. They'll get to their peak and then they'll go off and they either do a reality show on a ranch or they... make blockbuster films, and then some look like they're going to be blockbuster films, and they're just crappy action movies, you know?
Now, was he the first one, or was Hulk Hogan? No,
Hulk Hogan, but...
What came out first?
We're going to have to look that up, but I hate to say that was Suburban Commando was the first one that came out.
Surely that wasn't the first one, right? No, it was. It couldn't have been because he was in Rocky.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah. I thought that was Jesse the Body Ventura.
No, Hulk Hogan was in Rocky because, you know, Rocky was supposed to wrestle him, right? He was, and then but he thought it was fake, remember?
Okay.
Rocky just assumed it was all fake and it wasn't. Or am I thinking of a different movie?
Isn't this a movie podcast? What is going on here?
I got to look that up now.
I'm just gonna
Google Rocky versus Hulk Hogan.
I'm just afraid that
because after I said it, I started thinking that doesn't sound right.
Man,
I feel like I just made that up.
I'm just gonna say Buck Flowers ghost is gonna haunt me, and like you fucked up. You messed up my movie, and you couldn't even remember certain scenes.
Yeah, it was Rocky III, I think. Hulk Hogan was a maniac filming Rocky III, yeah.
Oh, okay. So he was in it.
Yeah, he was in Rocky III, and that came out in, I don't know what year that was. But I'm sure it was probably before They Live in 88.
Oh, wow. So, okay, you were right. Hulk Hogan was the first wrestler to transition from wrestling to film.
Boom, see?
You know what you're talking about.
Now I just need to find this Hulk Hogan cartoon.
When we advertise this episode, we're gonna have to find the pictures of the cartoon.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Confuse the fuck out of people. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing?
So let's see who all was on this cartoon. I'm not even gonna title the episode "They Live." Now it's just gonna be a
WWE or / WWF cartoon chat.
Like we completely went off the.
Oh, dude, I'm shit.
Off topic.
We got.
But I mean, there's true. Not. I mean, unless we were going to do like a complete deep dive in this movie, there's not much you can. Because I'm not going to hate on it. There's nothing I can say that I hate about the movie.
Well, I mean, we can say like what was your favorite scene in the movie other than the fight scene? I know you love fight that. Scene. There's no other.
Then my other favorite scene would be the sex scene when they're after the satellite gets taken down and that guy's trying to figure out why this.
He's like, "What's wrong, baby?"
That's my second favorite fight scene. Here's a weird thing too. When I look at this this cast for this Hulk Hogan cartoon,
mm-hmm.
You got Hulk Hogan, you had Roddy Piper, Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
There you go,
Junkyard Dog, the Fabulous Moolah, Captain Lou Albano, Andre the Giant, Hillbilly Jim, Nikita Volkoff, Mr. Fuji,
Nikolai.
The Iron Sheik. Big John Studd, Tito Santana, and you had Mean Gene on there, right?
Mean Gene.
You want to hear the weird part?
Hmm.
Nobody played themselves.
Okay.
Just guess. I'm going to give you one guess, but you're only going to need 1,000 of who played Hulk Hogan, who voiced Hulk Hogan in the Hulk Hogan cartoon.
I don't know, man. Who was the big voice? The guy that did freaking He-Man, I guess?
No, it was Brad Garrett.
Really?
Raymond.
There you go.
Hulk Hogan.
But that's just weird that they didn't get any of the... hell, Uncle Phil played Junkyard Dog.
Oh, yeah. Well, Uncle Phil did Shredder, too.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah. I just didn't realize that they didn't play themselves.
Hey, man, they're busy wrestling. They don't have time to do kids' cartoons.
I guess. Anyways, so that was a good trip down memory lane.
Well, and now I do wish they had, like, a fight scene at the end of the movie instead of him being shot by the helicopter and that blowing up that whole thing.
I don't know. I think that kind of works because you know, once you have the, what was it, 5-minute fight scene, I just think that not all, like, heroes need to have, like, an epic ending. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't know. Blows up the satellite and gets
shot. You know what I'm saying? That's, like, real.
Like, wouldn't it be badass to see, like, a buff one of those aliens and him and Roddy just get after it on top of the fucking room?
I don't think that wouldn't have worked. That would have been too
cheesy.
Yeah, that would have been doing it just for the, just to do it, right?
Yeah.
If they would have had, like, a, you know, some kind of mutant alien come out. That would have been ridiculous.
I think it would have been
in a cool movie. In a movie about aliens.
Yeah.
That would have been ridiculous.
I think it would have been cool to have a big buff alien and then him, you know, they just like body slam each other on top of the building and stuff.
Nah. Because then you just, that was Predator 2.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question. Oh, dude. For you.
Okay.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Like, have the Predator show up then.
There you go.
Just have a crossover
Predator event. Versus Xenomorph versus They Live.
Although those They Live aliens, they look pretty fucking weak. So, I mean, they're all about mind control. That's right.
So, I'm surprised this hasn't happened yet. But should they remake this movie?
I think they could, especially with how everybody has, you know, technology at their fingertips now. I think it would, I think it'd be cool. And of course, like I always say, they got to do it right. And of course, John Carpenter had to be on board somehow, like producing it or some sort of, you know what I mean? Like his blessing. But I think they could do it. I really do. I think they could do it again. Now, as far as like having someone play the main role, Roddy's role, fuck, I don't know who I'd pick. I really don't.
Well, you could get Kurt Russell. He could do
it. Kurt Russell's too busy looking like an old Western guy.
Oh, well.
With that, I mean, big ass mustache
fit,
is.
That would fit.
Yeah, I guess.
It'd be the perfect. I mean, the fight scene wouldn't really work out too well.
Yeah, maybe have Dave Bautista or, you know, another wrestler, maybe.
I don't know. I don't think it needs to be remade.
I kind of feel the same way, but also I think they could do, I think they could do a good job if they decided to do it. And I would watch it if they did.
I don't think they would do a good job. I think here's what I think would happen.
Okay.
All right. So, okay. So the original story was written in the '60s, right? Fifties or sixties.
Yeah.
What is that? What I said? Fifties, maybe. I don't remember. I'm gonna go with fifties, just so I don't have to look it back up. So it was, you know, it was based on that, right?
Okay.
And to me, even though it has the consumerism stuff in it, and I know that's like a main part of the story, it didn't feel forced. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just felt like, hey, that's a, you know, that's a cool concept or whatever. If they made it today, it would just be a political movie. So whoever would make it would just try to cram their political views in it, and it would suck. That's why they don't need to remake it today.
I got you.
Because it works now. That I story works today. From. You know what I'm saying? It would just be, and it would, that's what it would turn into.
Yeah, I sort of agree with that. I think so. But then on the other hand, I mean, there could be, you know, they could do a good job with it.
And you I don't know. I don't think they would leave the best line in. They would cut that line because somebody would think of something better. Oh, I got something better they could say.
No,
they don't. Yeah.
Plus, I mean, Roddy's one-liners. I mean, that influenced one of the coolest, you know, heroes was Duke Nukem. I mean, Duke Nukem's lines and everything came from him and pretty much Ash.
There you go.
So,
oh, there you go. Bruce Campbell would be perfect for the remake.
Bruce Campbell. Oh, yeah. He still looks like he's in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So your remake would have Bruce Campbell and Kurt Russell. And then they'd have the 5-minute long fight scene.
Yes. That would
there's
going to
be some sore hips tomorrow.
Or you know what you do? You have him. You know they. You know he's trying to get him to put the glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're so they don't even fight. You know they just say, ah, fuck it, not even worth it.
Yeah.
They just walk away. Like they don't even fight.
Oh man. Says,
fuck it, I'll put him on. I'm too old for this. That's what you do.
I don't know. My remake, I think I'd go with Dave Bautista as the main guy. And then
see, I think you just need a regular guy. You don't need a bulky. Man, or Roddy Piper, he just didn't, the way he dressed, he just seemed like an average guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you put Dave Bautista, I'm just going to imagine Drax the Destroyer the entire time.
Yeah, but he's a good actor. He's funny and everything.
Well, he's a good actor.
I'm going off of not only his look, but I'm going off of that. And this is my remake. You made your bed.
I'll give you your remake.
Shit. Yeah, I'd have him. Let me think of who could do like Keith David's part.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah, Kevin Hart. We'll do that. And
just imagine a street fight with Dave Bautista and Kevin Hart.
And then I'd have Sam Elliott in there as a Buck Fowler's part.
There you go.
The old Rod boys.
Oh, I didn't pick somebody for that part in my movie.
And then Meg Foster's part.
Oh, I didn't pick that part either.
I need to
damn
think
it.
I know, dude. Your remake only has two guys in it fighting. That's it. The end.
That's the whole movie.
I think I'm trying to think of an actress. You know what? What's her name? Alexandra Daddario. She could do that part. Because her eyes are super blue, and plus she's hot. So. My remake sounded good. So those are the characters I would have.
I'm missing half my cast.
You're missing it. And if you think of someone, say it now. I want to hear your choices.
All right. So the Buck here, I don't know what the guy's name was.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know what the character's name was.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You got to get on the winning team, motherfuckers.
Yeah. And the Meg Foster character... I don't know. I have no idea.
Hmm. Anybody you could think of. Anybody.
Charlize Theron. I just saw her in that new movie. Well, I didn't watch the movie, but I saw a trailer for her. She's in that
okay.
new,
yeah.
like fighting movie or whatever.
She's still got some. Right. So yeah, that's a good. Okay. And then Kurt Russell and Bruce Campbell. Play the same part, but in different scenes.
Right, yeah. And, of course, I get to direct it, right?
Oh, well, there
John
you go.
John Culver, he can consult, but I'm directing it.
I'm going rogue. I'm just going to go to, like, Marvel or something and say, hey, check this out. Yeah, I'm tapped into this fresh little well yet. You need to get a sip. Let's
we
make
know,
this movie.
Considering it's based on another story, we can just leave John Carpenter out of it.
Yeah, you could.
We can just say we're making it off of that story. We're not remaking his movie. It just seems very similar to his movie, but it's based on the story.
He's like, this is a shot-for-shot remake of my shit. What the fuck? No, it's a story.
It's based off 8 o'clock in the morning.
I like our picks, man. So all in all, like you said, there's not really much bad things we can say about it, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing bad you can say about this movie.
You know, I'm trying to think, you know. That's the only thing I think I would, like I told you, it'd be corny and cheesy, but I think it'd be pretty cool to have some sort of more epic ending. No, I just the only thing I think I would change is a more epic ending, not like what I was talking about before, the wrestling and all that. I was just messing around, but I don't know. It left me wanting a little bit more to the ending than what I got. Not that I hate the ending. It's just something I think I would change about it.
I just think that ending fits the character.
I got you.
Right. Let's see. But yeah, it's an awesome movie. I don't think they need to remake it. I hope they never do. If they do, I will not watch it. Because I think that's just, it's a classic that still stands up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I hear you.
It still holds up today, as the kids say.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, everybody just watch that one. You don't need a new one. Are you there?
Everything?
Yeah, I couldn't hear.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah, you were cutting out. You sound like John Carpenter synthesizer.
Uh-oh.
I'm about to leave that in there.
Yeah, leave it in there. They interrupted the transmission.
That's what it is.
What part did I leave off on? You don't even know?
No idea.
Oh, shit. Whatever. We said what we're going to say about it.
Yes, so we did.
I guess we'll wrap it up before I cut out again.
Yeah. We're using up all your bandwidth.
I guess so. Fuck.
Just start using your phone more.
I guess. I don't want to.
Seems to work.
Spend better. Money on all this other shit.
I know. Yeah, spend all money. Right. Now, see, people, this is why you need to buy t-shirts.
I know.
So we can get better equipment. So Mr. Poe's not out of half of the episode.
I know. At least we're not interviewing someone right now. Jesus Christ.
I know. That's the worst.
I know.
Because we make fun of you.
That's fine. I don't care. I'd make fun of me too. Shit.
Nah. We're good. It happens. That's what happens mm-hmm. when you're mm-hmm. an independent podcast.
Doing it for the love of talking movies.
Yes. Even though we didn't talk about movies a lot on this one. We talked more about the Hulk Hogan cartoon.
That takes up most of the episode.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's fine, though. It's fine. Mm-hmm. All right. So, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me at They Call Me Mr. Poe on Instagram/app and Twitter. And, of course, Sundays at 8, B-Movie TV. You can catch me on the Sci-Fi Sideshow. Only on Roku.
Roku. And they get involved in the live group chat.
Oh, yeah. On the B-Movie TV fans.
Which is fun when I can remember.
Yeah.
That it's happening.
Well, it's all right. It's hard to remember sometimes. But that's what I was about to say. Get on the Instagram as well. Find B-Movie TV on Instagram and follow that.
There you go.
The schedule always gets posted up on that thing, too. So
there you go. Aaron, you can find me on Twitter at 1313 Inc, which, you know, Twitter got hacked. So if you see me on there asking for bitcoins, don't believe it. It's not me.
What do you mean? I just sent a bunch of money to you for your bitcoins.
It wasn't me.
Oh, no.
And of course, you know, you can find the 1313 Inc. Productions on Facebook. We have a group. We have a page. I tried to delete one of them, but it wouldn't let you do it. So both of them are still sitting out there. Just join one. I'm trying to post to both of them. And then, of course, you know, 1313 Inc. Productions has an Instagram account. You can follow us on there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, don't forget, we posted our first video episode on YouTube. It was the Shallow Grave, right?
Yeah, Shallow Grave, Plot 5.
Plot 5 is on there. It's a video that's on there.
Yeah.
You can go check it out.
Check it out.
I may drop it on Facebook, too. I don't know yet.
Yeah, you know, drop it on Facebook, whatever. I mean, get people talking and watching.
There you go.
So,
and of course, this, we were going to try to do this one as a live episode, but ran into some technical difficulties, so maybe we'll try that at a future date.
Yeah.
That way we can have some live interaction.
Yeah, that's why I guess we picked this movie, because like you said, we there's not much you can say about this movie. You know, there's little one-liners and everything, but I think it would have been cool to get other people's insight on it. And if you're listening to this and you follow us on the group, let us know what you thought about it, you know?
Yep. Just put any post on there in the comments or whatever. However, Facebook, I don't know how Facebook works. It's whatever you got to do. And then, we got t-shirts for sale, t-shirts, mugs, hoodies, pillows, notebooks. Just go check out our TeePublic store. Link will be in the description.
Awesome.
Pick yourself up something nice. And thanks for listening, everybody.
All right.